We're doing the Shot Aran. We're up to page Taf Mimchet. Aval yesh bekan sheila. We have over here a question. Shimeyot. Sheshni minyaneinu b'ma shenichsal k'shelo nishtamesh b'lachem urim mitzad haktamat ha'idiyah. Hashem tells us, you're going to be okay. You'll have profits. You'll manage. And I want you to be with me. Don't go after the different sorcerers and fortune tellers. Ki zeh yishnam b'yotem utukan mimenu mitzad ha'navi. Hashem says, I gave you a much better tool. You have a prophet. Adain yesh lishol. We could still ask. Torah says, lo teoneinu. Don't try to figure out, according to the zodiac and according to a million different calculations, this is the right time to open my business. Well, why not? If Hashem created a world where different hours are more correct for doing different things, why did the Torah tell me not to work with that system? V'dachen chashim. But the same thing we find, that there are forms of sorcery where a person says, if A happens, I shouldn't do B. They used to say, if a person was eating and he dropped his loaf of bread, so that's a sign he's not going to succeed in this deal. And they thought that was right. So why shouldn't you use that?
Don't we say that about the world? Rabbi Yisus says about going to a derech of the Tanakh, right? You open up to the... I don't want to compare the two, there's one sorcery, but like...
You're asking a question. Okay? But why wouldn't we be allowed to use these tools? They used to do all kinds of tricks. The equivalent of what we would call flipping a coin. And they'd say that's a sign whether I should or shouldn't go. Shuleidaim yitzich darko imayin. People did this to know it's a sign whether they'll succeed or not. So why can't I say a black cat crossed the street? I'm not walking down that street. Why am I not allowed to say that?
There's a difference between real tradition or like just kind of like a like part of the culture. So for example, if the sailors see a shark, they think that that's a bad sign.
So he's going to say what you're saying now. The question doesn't begin if you view things like Maimonides. Ki huzal, because the Rambam nimshach ledat rachamim ativihim. Rambam goes with the naturalists shesuvrim shen b'kochavim kochav tovora. They believe that it's all nonsense, that there are no stars that can really affect you to good or bad. V'sheinam ba'alei chiyuyot klal. According to Rambam, then you can't assume that the stars can affect you. V'shekol ma sheyachshavu ha'moraim b'dachim ha'im davar batel. Rambam learns that everything that these sorcerers think work, it's all nonsense. So according to Rambam, you're not missing anything by not using these things. When a person says, a black cat crossed the street, I shouldn't walk down that street, according to Rambam, that's nonsense. So of course the Torah told you not to work that way. According to Rambam, it all works. And even when the astrologers tell you things based on the stars, they're wrong. The stars aren't what's affecting anything. It all starts up here. In our imagination, we think we can understand. And then when an astrologer tells you something, you think you see it. You know, something very special is going to happen in your day today. You're not expecting it. And suddenly you're going to see something which you really didn't think would happen. So now you're going to walk down the street and a car is going to drive by and splash you. And you're going to say, he was right. How did he see that? Right? But if that didn't happen and you came to the bus and you just missed the bus, you'd say, he was right. How did he see that? I was sure I'd make it to the bus on time. And if you buy a challah and it's exceptionally tasty, you're going to say, wow, he... Right? So Rambam says that the things that people assume come from the stars, well, they don't really. You know, I could tell you a bunch of lines which every one of you will see come true in your day today. There are certain things you'd like to see happening in your day today, and you're going to sense a slight disappointment as your day goes on. Now watch how it comes true. There's going to be something in your day that, look, I can tell you things that are more accurate if you want. There's this sadness deep down inside that you haven't been able to overcome for a very long time. You try to ignore it, but it's still there. Now we can start talking all kinds of things that every person knows they're true. But if I look you deep in the eye and I have a crystal ball, I can really make you believe I know what's going on in your soul. And if I forecast things intelligently enough, I can make it so that you are confident that I knew what would happen in your day today. So Rambam learns that all these astrologers, they're all a bunch of fakes, and they're telling you things that come from the imagination and they touch your imagination. They're imagining things when they look at the stars and they think the stars are doing things. Just as the people who do all kinds of lotteries, people think that by drawing lots, they can figure out what's going to happen. That's one of the Rambam's example. Or people do all kinds of other tricks and they say this is a proof of what would happen. So that's according to Rambam. So he says, according to Rambam, I understand why the Torah tells me don't work with these systems. Because according to the Rambam, the systems are nonsense. So the Torah is telling you, work with the Torah and not with nonsense. But, do we go with the Rambam? And that's the big question we're going to learn about Bezrat Hashem next week.
Isn't the Rambam also talk about the
if you guys, we were supposed to end class today, but I can go check my phone. I'm supposed to meet someone. If they're running late, then we can continue another 20 minutes. Should I check, or we'll call it a day? Yeah, I'll check. Okay.
Wow. Wait, we did the college with one of them and you moved Why don't you ever pull out your knowledge of animals in class?
It doesn't show up too much.
I find that shows up all the time. Mine's also more practical. It's like farming side.
Yeah.
But we were talking about spaying cows the other day.
No.
Because he mentioned that Paro, when he sold his cattle, he would spay the cows because he didn't want, he had the best cows in the land. So he didn't want anybody else breeding all these cows, so he would spay them. And then I told him we'd still spay cattle today. He was like,
no way,
why would you do that? Did you learn spaying? Did you learn spaying?
Yeah.
What are the two methods? There's the flank method and the internal, yeah?
Yeah, so there's a surgical method. Depends what you mean. Spaying, it's a female. Yeah, so there's the internal
and the other ones. Ones,
yeah. The other ones are.
You ever done it?
No, I haven't.
Get it?
I don't feel like that. Yeah, yeah. Those are brutal. I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. You feel bad the first time. And then it kind of gets fun.
What
you pop them out.
Oh, man. Wait, you do that way, or you can do the tying method?
Not even the really little people can bring them in.
Yeah.
And, but up on the cattle station, you just don't have enough time. It's much quicker to cut.
Yeah. Yeah, in some of my classes, we had to check like, the prostate of the cows. So we got to put this big long glove on, and the whole class, like 40 of us, shoved it into the anus, and we had to feel for the prostate.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I asked the teacher, I'm like,
very interesting.
Is this not harmful to the cow?
No,
he's like, not till it bleeds.
To get them to milk a bull, they nowadays use an electrode.
To do?
To stimulate all the muscles.
Oh.
Up the bum of it and it forces it.
That's weird. Yeah, it's getting to the point of the artificial insemination that male cows aren't necessary at all. So you can start using them for more meat, or you can start using them for more.
Oh, they're necessary.
Well, they are, but you only need a couple, in theory.
Generally, most flocks only have a couple, like males and
the flocks. Well, the ratio is 1 to 50.
So there you go, you know,
1 to 50. Well, that's the very transportable one, so like, you can't.
1 to 50, and you normally hit the. You try and keep it on that ratio. Yearlings you keep on 1 to 25. Depends on how much they can work. But the.
Did you get it 1 to 50?
Yeah?
Yeah, we have another 15 minutes. Yeah. Just throw me a couple of.
See? Yeah. So. No, because you still need a. You still need the ball. Often you use a ball, same ratio for backup. Maybe we'll be doing 1 to 50 as a backup. No, 1 to 50. 1 to 50 as a backup as well as 1 to 50 as a.
I don't understand the question.
As a rule.
That's a very
good
thing that you brought that I've never heard anybody call before.
And some people don't do backup. But it's very intensive to do
it,
guy.
Why are you doing that? It is. Eventually, it's not.
What is that? Is that.
How does it get much easier?
Because you, as like the science advances, you can start confirming it.
Before
it's more likely that it's the first time.
Actually, you can do it now.
Yeah.
Where we know
pregnancy. It's like saying that you can get a woman pregnant.
The printers.
Even if you get the hormones right.
Masculine. They own printing presses. They stuck all kinds of things into the books to make the rabbis seem weird. Don't be quick to simply wrote it. Like Rav Moshe Chaim
Sfira.
Where did it get into? The question is, like Rav Moshe writes about certain words. He says, maybe part of it's true, but part of it is nonsense. So, there are sentences, and maybe someone stuck them in. You don't know if it's a good copy of the book, if he really wrote that sentence. Rav Moshe writes that, I don't remember about which Rishon that. Well, the Gemara, you have a good tradition on the text of the Gemara. These are shown him. You don't know where they came from. You don't know who found which manuscript.